All right. So sometime back, I don't know when it was, Brian might know, but a number of you were here when Brian Jackson was with us and taught, and a number of you have been saying, when do we get to have him back? You talk too much, Wally. Get him back here. So we listened. At least I tried to listen. And so this morning, we are wrapping up a series. And this week, I feel like this morning is such a crucial and important conversation to be had and a teaching to sink into, talking about to be renewed, reconciled, restored, our relationship with ourselves. To talk about being reconciled to God, reconciled to creation, reconciled to one another is one thing, but what does it mean to actually be reconciled, renewed, and restored with ourselves? So if you would, we have a good friend, Brian Jackson, back with us this morning. So if you do a good Walker Harbor welcome to him, that'd be great. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks. You leaving?
Yeah.
See ya. Thanks for coming. good morning. As well, I said, I'm Brian Jackson. I'm the student ministry director at Fairhaven, and it's really good to be back. For those of you who are here, I think it was early spring, April, around the last time. There's no other place where I can go and talk, and like I get to say hi to Spider-Man in the morning, and I'm a little bummed I don't get to like teach Spider-Man because that would be so great. But like Wally said, we're wrapping up a series, The Hero's Quest, and we've been talking about all these different relationships. So we've been talking about the relationship between us and God, the relationship between us and the planet, the relationship between us and other people. And this morning I want to talk about the relationship that we have with ourselves. And I'm going to bury the lead a little bit here, but where I kind of want to take us is this idea that actually, this relationship we have with ourselves is maybe where we need to start. I think some people have been given this idea that it's a choice, right? We can either love ourselves or love our neighbor. We can either spend time in here or we can spend time out there. But I actually think the two things are deeply, deeply connected. And the relationship we have with ourselves matters for all the other ones and might actually be the first step towards reconciliation and renewal in all those other areas. So that's kind of where we're going. The way I want to get there is I want to tell you a story about myself when I was really little, and then we're going to talk about Genesis, which is kind of a theme we've been in through the whole series, and then we're going to hear from the really wise prophet Adam Sandler, if anybody knows who that is. It's good stuff. And then I want to talk about what happens when your life falls apart, when what you thought you knew is no longer true. And then we'll wrap it up together. So when I was in, I'm pretty sure it was third grade, and it was the last day of third grade, I was really, really excited for summer to start. I was a baseball player growing up, so I was going to play a lot of baseball. I was going to hang out with my friends. I was just going to sit at home and play video games. Really excited to enter the new season of summer. And that day, I got on the bus, and I'm like, yes, get me home. It is time to be done with school. And I get on the bus, and I get home, and I get off, and I look out in the driveway, and there's my mom and my dad with a jackhammer. And something about my, And so they have this jackhammer. Something about my driveway growing up, it was insane. No joke, about a 45-degree angle, and it's about 40, 50 yards long. So in the winter, if there was any snow on it, you had to have four-wheel drive, and you had to have a running start. And it was like this spectacle. Every time it snowed, my dad would get home and he'd stop at the end of the road and then just gun it and swing around, try to get up the driveway. And then he'd get right near the tip and either he'd get over or he'd just kind of slide back down and then try again. And this year, the driveway had started to break apart a little bit. There was some big cracks in a section of it and a part of it was sinking in. And my dad had chosen this day, the last day of school, to replace part of the driveway. And so he goes, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break up this section of the driveway with a jackhammer, and then you, your brother, and your mom are going to take these chunks of concrete, and you're going to walk them over to a trailer and put them in, and we're going to do that for about 4 hours. And I said, no. And he goes, yeah. And I was like, okay, fine. And this was not what I had planned. This isn't what I wanted. I wanted to sit and to have fun and to run around. And instead, I find myself on the last day of school picking up big chunks of concrete. And I'm in third grade, right? So I can't do much but carry them over to this trailer. And I'm getting increasingly angry about this. And so I start to try to take out my anger. I start to throw them as far as I can and as hard as I possibly can into the trailer instead of just placing them nicely. And so I'm getting farther and farther away, and I'm throwing them harder and harder, just taking out all my frustration on this concrete. And one time I throw one, and my mom is carefully placing a piece of concrete into the trailer. And my mom is the nicest person in the world. You might think you know somebody nicer, but you'd be wrong, and that's okay. But she's the nicest person in the world. And I throw this piece of concrete, and it hits her. And I hear her yell, and then I hear the jackhammer stop, and then I ran. I didn't wait around to see what was going to happen to me. So I book it into the house. I dive into my bed. I throw a blanket over myself, and I get as small as I can. And I'm laying in my bed with this blanket over me, and I'm crying. I'm sobbing pretty hard. That kind of ugly cry where you can't catch your breath. And for one of the first times I can remember, I'm feeling real shame. I'm feeling really terrible about what I did. I'm feeling like, how could I do this? And more importantly, I'm starting to ask the question, is this who I am? I had a bit of a streak in elementary school where I'd get mad about things and I would lose control for a little bit and do something that I would regret. And I was starting to wonder, am I a bad kid? Is this just who I am? And I'm feeling all of this shame and guilt about what I've done. And see, this story of shame that we feel, this question that we have of, is this who I am when we mess up? This is as old as time, going all the way back to Genesis. So we're going to go back to Genesis 2. And this is right at the end of the creation story, right? So God has, they've created the earth. He's created plants, animals, water, sky, all the things. And then God creates Adam and Eve. He creates man and woman, and he puts them in the garden. And it's the way things were intended. And we get this right at the end of the story. We get Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been naked in public and not felt shame about it. I've never been naked in public, period. But I've had that dream. I should note that. Some of you might have had this. I used to have this recurring dream where I was naked in public, especially when I was in elementary school. I'd have this dream that I was at school and I was naked. And I would wake up with this sense of like deep, deep shame. But Adam and Eve, it's totally different. They're in the garden, they're naked. They are exactly who they are. They have this sense of freedom, that they can just be themselves, that they don't have to hide anything and they don't feel ashamed about it. This is the way that it was meant to be. But then something changes. Things kind of go sideways on them. And we get to chapter 3. And Adam and Eve, they'd been told, there's one tree in the garden that you're not supposed to eat from. There's one thing you're not supposed to do, but they do it. And we read this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So Adam and Eve, they do the thing they didn't want to do, and they feel shame. And they do what we all do when we feel shame. They do what I did when I felt shame, which is they hid. They make coverings for themselves, and they go among the trees. They run away and hide. And I have to believe that something else was going on here too, that they're hiding, they feel shame, their eyes are open, the sense of freedom that they had is gone, and they're starting to wonder, is this who we are? See, their eyes are open, and I have to believe they're starting to wonder, is this who we are? Are we messed up? Are we disobedient? Are we the types of people that are going to make these mistakes over and over again? And this question of is this who I am, this is often a result of shame. And it's a question that is asked to Adam Sandler in the movie Anger Management. I don't know, has anybody seen it? Anybody seen the movie? Okay, it's a pretty average movie. I'm not saying go home and watch it. But there's this really good scene in it where Adam Sandler, his character Dave, his life has gone sideways, and he finds himself in anger management for the first time, and he's in this group of people, and he's just being asked to introduce himself by Jack Nicholson. So Adam Sandler finds himself in this situation he never thought he'd find himself in, which is he's in anger management. And he's being asked to introduce himself, and he does kind of what we all do when we're asked this question, right? If you're asked who you are, what we do is we give people kind of, I call it like the playing card of our life. This is what I do for work, maybe a little bit about your family, where you live, what are your hobbies, the things you like and don't like. If you trust the person, maybe you give them a little bit more of your personality. But what I love about this is that Jack Nicholson, he doesn't let him hide behind that. He keeps asking the question, who are you? Who are you really? Trying to get past sort of the playing card of who he is. And so for Adam and Eve, when they hid, it involved covering themselves with things and hiding in the trees. But I think for us, sometimes it's a little bit more subtle. I think sometimes maybe we hide behind our jobs. Maybe we get really busy. Maybe we start to find our identity in what we do. Maybe we work all the way up the ladder only to find that it's not actually what we wanted. Maybe we hide behind our hobbies. We get busy really, really every week, really busy every weekend, or we're just waiting for the next vacation. Maybe we hide behind our personalities. We build this person that we think everybody will be fine with. We build this thing that we project out into the world that nobody will ask questions about, that we think will sort of hide us from the question of who are you really? And I want to be clear. Your job, your hobbies, your personality, these are not bad things. These are not bad things to have. I think the problem comes in when we use them to hide from the question of who am I really? When we create this barrier around ourselves to not let anybody else in and not even let ourselves in to the question. And this question comes up the most, I think, when things get hard. You know, I don't walk around all day asking myself, who am I really? But the question tends to come up when life gets difficult, when things start to break down. For Dave in the video, all of a sudden his life just went sideways and he's forced to reckon with this question. For me, it was a few years back, kind of in my early mid-20s, and it came through in the form of a relationship. I was dating a girl at the time, and long story short, it was just really difficult. It was this on again, off again thing for about 3 years. And it wasn't good. And what it forced me to do was to reckon with some things about myself that I didn't necessarily want to know. Relationships have this way of uncovering us, of uncovering the things about ourselves that we don't really want to connect with. And then when things ended, I was left kind of standing in the rubble of this thing going, I don't really know who I am. Who I thought I was is clearly not right. And I had this imagined future. I had this idea of where things were going to go, and all of a sudden it was just gone. And I'm standing going, what do I do now? I don't know who I am, and I don't know where to go. And it was the beginning of a journey for me that I'm, of course, still on. It doesn't end. But it forced me into this place where I had to ask the question. I don't know what that is for you. Could be work. Maybe job falls apart. Or maybe it goes really great and it just is taking the life out of you. Maybe it's family. maybe you had a way you thought that these relationships were supposed to go and they're not going that way and it's difficult. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe you get sick. Maybe somebody else gets sick. And all of a sudden you get a step back and you can look at your whole life and you're going, what am I doing? Am I doing this right? Is this what I want? Is this the way it's supposed to be going? It's in these real moments where our life sort of falls apart that we're really forced to ask this question, who am I really beyond what I've built up around myself? And you're faced with a choice. You can do a couple of things when you find yourself in one of those moments. You can look at the rubble and you can try to build it back up and, you know, kind of super glue it together. That's what I tried to do. You know, I tried to take the pieces of this thing and build it back up and go, it's fine, when it clearly wasn't. You can hide. You can get really, really busy. You can just start to work long hours, or you can pick up new things, new tasks. You can try to meet with everybody. You can go out and you can try to serve the whole world, be the kindest person and volunteer for everything. And again, these aren't bad things, but a lot of times it's just hiding and it's avoidance of the real work that needs to be done. Or you can step out. You can stand in the midst of this thing and you can, okay, I'm gonna go in here. I'm gonna ask the hard questions. I'm gonna do the work and try to figure out this relationship, try to reconcile whatever it is that's going on in here. That's a really hard thing to do. I don't want to paint this as an easy thing. This is hard. That'll take something from you. You won't come out on the other end all fine and good. It's going to be really, really difficult. But I can tell you a couple things. First thing is I have good news, is that you're not alone. If we go back to Genesis, in Genesis 2, reminded of this, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And a little bit later in Genesis 3, it says, next one, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. See, we have a God that in our shame doesn't stand back. We have a God that in our shame walks up, extends a hand and says, where are you? Come out of hiding. Come out from among the trees. And not only that, but I'm going to meet you right there. See, God doesn't heap on the shame to Adam and Eve. God says, actually, I'm going to make you clothes. I'm going to prepare you for this journey that you have to go on. And yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, there are consequences. It is not all easy. Things went real sideways on him. But God doesn't send him out of the garden saying, I'm going to stay here now. You just have to leave. The cool thing about this is God goes with them. We have this whole book, all these stories of God going with people in spite of what's happened, in spite of things getting difficult. So my invitation this morning is pretty simple. It's to start the process. It's to take the blanket off, to turn the lights on, to take that next step into the mess instead of away from it. It's to say, I'm not going to run from this anymore. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to avoid the question. But I'm actually going to do the work of figuring out who am I really beneath all this. And I can't give you the answer. I can't tell you what you'll find. But I can tell you it's good. See, I think we avoid the question because we're afraid that if we ask it, we won't like what we find. That if I actually go down and in here, that if I actually do the work, that I'm not gonna like what I find. But the story of Genesis starts with you're made in the image of God. That is who you are. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't change it. You can't run from it. It's just who you are. So I don't know what you'll find, but I know it'll be good because that's where we start. And the better news is this, is that if we choose to do this, if we choose to go on this journey to discover it, it's actually going to connect you to to others, to God, to the planet, to all those things better. If you go in first, it has this weird way of sending us back out. If you choose to go down in and to ask the hard questions, it'll send you back out to your neighbor, back out to the planet better. And then you'll go back in. And then you go back out, and it's this, it's like the waves coming in and out, and in and out. And so what I want to do this morning is I actually want to close by starting to practice this. So your pastor's Wally, so I assume you guys do different things from time to time, maybe slightly uncomfortable things. I've heard the term growth zone being thrown around. So this may be one of those things. I don't know if you've done it before, but I want to take you through a really simple breathing practice just to give us a first step. A lot of times what happens is we avoid getting quiet. We avoid taking times of stillness because when we get quiet and when we get still, all those things we've been pushing down, all the things we're hiding from, all the things we don't want to deal with start to kind of bubble up to the surface. I know I avoid silence because I know if I get quiet, all this stuff's going to come up. And so I want to give us a moment to get quiet and be silent. And so what I'll have you do is we'll just take a few deep breaths, and then as things start to come to the surface, I want us just to practice breathing them out. And all we're doing is just getting them out into the open. That's the first step to actually dealing with things, is we're just getting it out into the open. And so whatever comes to mind, we're just going to breathe it out. It might be the same thing over and over again. It might be different things. It might just be random distractions. That's all fine. Whatever happens, happens. So what I'd like you to do is just take a moment, get comfortable, plant your feet, sit back, whatever's comfortable for you. Close your eyes for a second. We won't be here long, I promise. Won't be too crazy. But if you could take a deep breath in, a deep breath out, and deep breath in, and deep breath out, and then just return to normal breathing. And as things start to come to the surface, I just want you to breathe them out and say, we're gonna put that out in the open for God to deal with. So as you go, whatever came up for you, I hope you know you're not alone in it. I hope you know that we have a God that reaches a hand out and invites us out of hiding and says, I want to go on this journey with you. I want to be there with you through all of it. Let me pray. God, thanks for this morning. Thanks for Walker Harbor Church and all that they're doing for your kingdom, in this area, in the world. God, thanks for the opportunity just to welcome a new member into this family before they even understand it or know. Thank you that they're welcome here. And God, I pray that as we go on the journey, as we ask the hard questions, as we dig into who we are, God, that you would relieve shame. God, that you would help us to know that we are fully known and accepted regardless. And then send us out into the world better, able to give people that same news that you give us. In your name we pray. Amen.